Welcome to Rural Concerns. This is producer James doing the intro because Chris only scripted two and we're meant to record three.
Shout out producer James.
They'll be like, don't listen to the others. Go in at this one.
And this is where it really starts, yeah.
This is when it starts.
Yeah.
We're saving this for episode 40 then.
Yeah.
I mean, listening to previous episodes where you boasted about not putting the heating on because you're wearing a scarf. And you've had a cold in every record. This is worrying.
Yeah, it's not really a cold. I guess it's from the mold. But yeah, I've got to wait a week and a half for a new mattress now. I wanted a new bed, but I wanted one of those like Marriott beds. I think they're supposed to be really good.
What, from the hotel?
Yeah, you can buy the hotel beds.
What?
Yeah, Marriott and Premier Inn sell their beds on a separate website if you want them.
Shut up. What?
Yeah.
What, they're ex-beds?
Like not their ex-ones, but their suppliers they use for their beds, you can buy them.
Are premium beds that good?
They're made by Hypnos, who make the Queen's beds.
How's she getting on?
She's sleeping well, man.
She's not waking up, to be fair. You've got me there. You've absolutely done me.
She's had the deepest sleep.
But I didn't really want to buy a bed and mattress until I moved flat. So, yeah.
Well, you have to move somewhere, don't you? Like, as in, just get somewhere and then you can't buy an amazing thing, but you're living in London and you can buy something.
I've got an okay budget. I just need to find something I actually like for that money.
Don't brag.
No, I'm not bragging. I'm saying the first place I looked at was full of mold.
Don't stop, Chris.
Chris, you love mold.
There's a lot of mold in the middle floor.
After last week's Balantra chat and you hiding around your house in order to play this addictive card game.
Yeah.
Have you lied to your wife that there's mold on the middle floor of your house and you're just using it as...
She is forbidden.
Can we have a segment where we talk about what Chris has lied to his wife about this week?
There's quite a lot. I don't lie. I just sort of fudge some of the key facts.
Yeah, it's
just
for her benefit. It's not
for her benefit. Otherwise, she's just going to be let down.
She'd just be alone because she'd have kicked you out.
She has access to, I think it's important to know.
Podcasting software.
She has access to podcast. If she's got a problem, she can slap it out on Podbean.
She can email us at chris@alovelytime.com.
Christopher@alovelytime.co.uk. It don't matter. It'll come back at the end. But what I'm saying is she's a good lady, total trust. She knows I'm not up to any shenanigans because I don't think she sees me in that way. Do you know what I mean? I think she's sort of got the measure of me. Like I have a friend who wanted to paint me for a short film that she's making. And I just went into my wife, I went, can you take a painting of me naked on this chair? And she just took it. She didn't even ask a question. Do you know what I mean? Said, what's it for? Said, short film. She's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah. That's fine. That makes sense.
Not in a way where she's totally cool and a nice person, just in a way where she's sort of had enough, do you know? Like there's a world weariness to me.
She's got other stuff to do, other stuff to think about.
She's busy. She's so busy. I'm not going to change now. She knows too far in. I think she picked me up as a project, you know, where she's like, she can mold me into like a proper man. And now she's like admitting that the clay is shit. She never had a chance.
Blaming all the tools as well, is she?
She's just like, I should have never got this clay. Should have got a grown up man. But alas, here we are. We signed a contract. See you at my deathbed. You're busy. You're a busy boy and you're out. I didn't want to pester you while you're filming some...
You literally just tried to get hold of me on the 2 days I was doing stuff last week.
Yeah, but you weren't busy. And I was making a little short film and I was like high on adrenaline. So all I did, to be fair to me, was message the lady that you live with and ask her for a cache of photographs of you that she's taken over the previous months.
A lot of those photos were ones I'd taken of myself when her phone was unattended.
Ah, so that's even better. So when she, and to be fair to her, she did ask what it was for. I thought that was pretty bang on, really.
Did you say a short film?
I said a short film.
And it was a short film in the end.
Yeah, I said for promotional purposes for a podcast. And she said, yeah, okay.
We have an agreement where she can't post any stories or anything about me without permission, but she frequently flouts that sort of rule. And then we fall out over it for about 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's okay.
Then I get her to take it down and then I'm like, no, it's all right, put it back up.
But I think with you, it's like at least someone's doing social media for you, you know? Like at least someone's doing social media for you. I went on your website the other day because when I was trying to lift pictures,
Yeah.
And I was just like, what is this?
Well, I like my website. I think it's one of the best comedians' websites out there. Off you go, James. Have a look. SunilPatelComedy.com.
It don't really give you any information.
Apart from my agent's details and a couple of links to work.
Well, somewhat funny. Oh, no, it is funny. I like the fact that you've used bullet points for every line and not used capital letters and stuff. Oh, you have randomly used one capital letter. Have you done that on purpose? Right, halfway through? I don't know what...
Look, I found the cheapest website provider, refused to use any of its templates and just typed out plain text website.
Sounds good to me.
I like the don't ask if I can design a website for you. That's very...
Had two inquiries already.
Very classy.
Yeah, it's classy. See, Chris? Understated, classy, like Chanel or something.
Oh, so you've hyperlinked the radio show, but not your agent's contact details.
You can't hyperlink emails. You mustn't. People can copy and paste. People aren't idiots.
I'm so sorry, but you can hyperlink emails.
You can, but nobody wants... I don't like hyperlinked emails.
Right.
I don't want to click on email and then the wrong email program opens up on my laptop. You know, I just want to copy it into Gmail and then that's it.
Right.
I'm a power user of computers and I understand the friction points that people have more than UX designers do.
But then also we're both looking at your website right now.
Yeah, and it's good.
To see.
It's a good website. It's a good website. You want one?
We've got notes.
I'm not allowed to ask.
That's my website.
We would if we could, but we can't.
Fine. I'll ask you. Outreach.
Yeah, go on.
Do you want a website done?
Yeah, go on. Let's do it. I've got one, but it could really do with being scaled back a bit to just plain text.
I will strip it back to its purest essence and get you across in way less information you've put up.
I think mine's already been stripped back to its purest essence by me forgetting to update the name, and now it's a Chinese advert for the Premier League that features a shark.
Man, that's a great website.
What, as in you let it lapse and they snapped it up? They were like, there's a lot of traffic going through this.
Exactly. And now it's a Chinese advert for the Premier League, and there is a shark in a cape and Nemo for some reason.
Are they saying you've got to pay a lot more to get it back?
I don't know. I haven't bothered looking. I don't need a website.
I don't think I need one, but, you know, that's the only place you can find out where my agent is. You can't do it on my Instagram or anything. But you don't. Who needs to find your agent? It's not hard to Google.
It's tough nowadays with podcasts and stuff. Because would you say if someone wanted to get you on their podcast, would they have to go through your agent or would they go through you?
They just message me on Instagram or Twitter. Yeah. It's very. I'm a very easy person to get hold of.
That's a little come get me. Come get me. What about you, Chris?
I maintain a perfectly crafted bonsai of a bonsai tree of information. I've got a link tree with all my links created and upcoming shows. I've got a website which does need a bit of attention, and I've got a website for my double act which also needs a bit of a spring clean.
I'll do them both.
I've just started Googling you, Chris. And
yeah, yes, sir.
You know, you get your resume browsing option for the last time that you searched that. My resume browsing is Chris Cantrell, DOB.
Why are you looking for that? Don't look for that. People, yes, I think people don't know what to, do you know what I mean? They're like, is he a very old man or a teenager with some sort of genetic condition? Do you know what I mean? They don't know how to figure it. So, although I feel old now.
No, you keep yourself young by playing these little computer games, hand-eye coordination and that.
Like with people with attention issues and stuff like that. I love playing computer games. It just soaks up all of my focus. Do you know what I mean? Because everything else that I do, I'm always thinking about a little scheme or something. Do you know what I mean? So with a computer game, I'm just focusing on Balatro.
Are you just repeating the word Balatro in your head over and over again as you play it?
Exactly. Now you get it. So you know I moved to middle of nowhere and I don't have any friends. Tonight, after we record this episode, I'm meeting online with two of my friends and we're playing a video game called Elden Ring. It's beyond you. I don't mean that disrespectfully.
But Chris, you've just bought a new house. should you be playing video games all the time, or is there something else you should potentially be doing to that new house?
Should be doing a lot. I should be stripping. It's so over. There's so much to do. It's so overwhelming. I should be stripping walls. I've done a little bit, but I need to just sit down and play some video games sometimes, because it's the amount of stuff that needs doing is too overwhelming.
It's for his meditation. He needs that.
It's for meditation, son, I can do. But I get my dad helps me a little bit, and he comes and we get on really well. We have a laugh all the time, but, you know, I can see a look in his eye when he keeps catching me on my phone and stuff, you know. But he comes up, he's retired, and he'll come and he'll spend, and we'll sort of do a room together or prep and stuff like this. And I can't really do anything. So I find the entire process, like at the minute, I'm dealing with tradesmen and stuff a lot. Men,
yeah,
with skills, come into my house, and I pay them for skills. And this week I've had an electrician around a lot who I think now passes for my best friend in the village. He's called Tony the Electrician. He's like a proper Geordie.
Does he know what you do for a living?
He hadn't heard it from me, but it's teased around. And so I think my mother-in-law said, because my mother-in-law likes to show me off a bit, and I was in London doing some shows or something. He's like, Chris is off to London to do a show. I'm doing a show in the village hall in a run-up to Edinburgh. And my mother-in-law was like, do you want to come and see him at the village hall? And Tony was like, nah. And I was like, yeah, nah.
That's what you want in a friend. They're not there. They're not glory hunters.
Exactly. He's not bothered. And he's not a friend per se, but he does talk to me a lot. He's on the parish council. So he's a power broker.
How do you get on that? You should get on that.
I can't get on that. I can't get into another thing where we do this podcast. You've seen how many minutes I'm keeping, you know? So imagine that times, like parish council's just minutes of meetings and attendance, and I can't do it at this point. Maybe when I'm a bit older and I've got a bit of a freer schedule or something, then I'll come to the parish council. But right now I can't do it. It's too much. So he's come and I pay him so much an hour, and he's doing a few. We've got, because the house is old, there's like loads of little wiring jobs that need to be done. And I pay him so much an hour, and he talks to me about what's going on in his parish council for an hour. And for that entire hour, I'm thinking, am I paying for this hour? Do you know what I mean? Like is this on the clock? And I have to keep him in, like, if he comes through the door, I can do him a coffee. And then I have to do him a coffee like once an hour from that point on, you know?
That's a lot of coffee, man.
It's a lot of coffee. And matching him coffee for coffee. So by the end of the day, I'm not sleeping really at the minute. I met a taxi driver up here that he picked me up from the train station, and he said, where have you been? I said, London. He went, nah. He said, I'm never going to go to London. And wow. He said, I'm never going to go 50 miles away from my own house.
What does he do when he hits the 50?
That's a very interesting, like, maxim for a taxi driver.
There's tight parameters, isn't there? I think he's like, he maps it out. He leaves them on hard shoulder. Emergency stop. On an A road.
The fucking Truman Show just hits the edge of the dome, does it?
Leaves him there, and he's like, I'm sure you'll be fine from here. If you think you want to go to London.
Does he have a tag on? Is that it?
Yeah, maybe that is it. But then when I go to, like, now, it's because I have to go to, train station a lot. I always think with, like, because I have to go to London. Back in the day when you were getting a train, you know, like turn of the century men, Edwardian, Victorian men with big maps. And you're going like, yeah, look, there's a mountain there. Yeah, we're going to drill through that to go to Edinburgh or something like that. Whereas now you go, I'd like to go to London. And the people at the train station are like, why do you want to go there for? Don't go. You don't worry about that. Stay here. That's what we can't. I mean, it might.
They don't want to lose you, man.
They don't want to. Yeah. They don't want to lose. Maybe it's like the Ravens. The Ravens leaving the tower. Northumberland shall fall when this Yorkshire man that's lived there for 4 years disappears.
I imagine they do lose a lot of young people to big cities, don't they? So they're like, what are you doing that for?
Tony asked me, he said, what age are you now? I said, I'm 40, Tony. And he went, what? Like that. And I was like, yeah, Tony. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think Tony thought I was a young buck.
How old's Tony?
58.
And he's your best friend?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
And I pay money to be in my house. But because, like, with rural tradesmen, maybe just any tradesman, but getting people here is hard work. Like, they're all busy. If they're good, they're very, and even if they're not good, they're block booked busy.
Yeah.
So you can't get hold of them. So Tony, I'm like, I need this, this, and this done. He's like, I'll do this. And then I've got to go do all these other, and I'll come back to you in a few weeks. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, okay.
He's spinning plates all the time of being very in demand. And I've seen him. He did a job for me, and then he came back quite recently. I said, I wasn't expecting you to see you so soon. He went, no, but you, in your email, you really did beg. So he took pity on me.
What he needs, Chris, is somebody to take over as admin for him.
I can't do it. I would love to. I can't be in a minute taker for the parish council. I'm trying to pull away from this sort of stuff.
Because you should be the appointment taker for the local electrician. And he works out every day, so he always comes by yours first.
I think it might be the only way to earn in regular money. You know what I mean? But I don't. That's my general experience of tradesmen. You know, like, I don't know what to do with them. I'm old enough to, like, I don't pretend to know stuff that I don't know anymore in my life. You know what I mean? I think when I've been a younger man, whether it's like DIY or football, feeling uncomfortable, I like bluff my way through a conversation with an old school man about football teams or electrics or something like that. Whereas now I'm just like, I don't know what that means.
When you just say, I don't watch football and I don't know what's happening around my house.
Yeah, because it sounds like there's an implication that your household has fallen into inequity because I'm playing little video games. I think there's like, might I in some prison be judged for doing that?
Like, if you think about it, the lord of any castle doesn't know how the fucking electrics work in there, does he? He doesn't care about football, does he? Too busy with CEO stuff, big boy shit.
Big boy shit. That's what I'm saying.
Just while we're on this, Chris, how did you get that scratch on your head?
Doing DIY myself.
Oh, what happened?
I've got some, there was some wood paneling on a wall and that came off. And then I took off a wooden like baton on a wall and I prized it off with a crowbar and it came out at quite a force and hit me full on in the head.
Tried to throw a soup ball.
Tried to throw a soup ball at someone.
Your stats don't match up to what you want to do, man.
It's hard because there's a lot of a vibe of like, don't worry, Chris. Chris is busy. And it's like, they don't know that a lot of comedy is sending like high resolution photos to people and looking at post-it notes that just say random words like, do I have any friends? Do you know what I mean? And you're like,
they're not random words. They're very thought through.
They're very thought through. Well,
just if you're looking at your stats on a D&D sheet, Chris Cantrell, the character of Chris Cantrell.
Ron Seal Syphilis.
Ron Seal Syphilis is your name. What are your stats for coordination and strength out of 20?
I think in my head, I've got like, I've always thought my coordination is higher than I have any evidence to believe that it is. In my head, I'm like spry and physically strong.
What out of 20 is delusion?
Delusions high, but I don't believe in myself at all. Do you know what I mean? So it's that odd mix of...
It's weird, like, if you don't believe in yourself, yet you believe in yourself when you're taking a crowbar to a wall in your own house.
Yeah, now there's a big hole in the wall and a big hole in my head.
And the stats back it up, I reckon.
The stats back that up. I think I'd have, like, bardic knowledge because I know I travel around a lot.
Yeah.
I know sort of like nooks and crannies of cities and villages and hamlets around the UK.
Yeah, one of those old storytellers with a cloak and a staff.
Yeah, and that's what we do. But I said to my friend showed me the last, he took me to a place in Manchester that was, he said, this is the last street of free parking in Manchester. And when we got there, I said, is that like this one with the burning caravan on it? I still park there. We took a picture with our children outside the burning caravan as well.
So Neil, what's the tradesman scene down in London? Are you doing that work, that app where you just like get a random handy person to come around and be handy?
Justin comes around whenever I want a shelf putting up.
Do you rent?
Yeah, I rent, but sometimes I have to get a handyman for various things that I need doing. So shelves he came around and did. Picnic table, he put that up. And picnic table in the garden, yeah. We just got a picnic table instead of garden furniture. And he put that together in very quick time. He's not qualified or anything. He's just a lad who's just handy. Graphic designer by trade.
Oh.
Cash in hand. It's all done. And he doesn't look down on you. He doesn't like, because he also wears like little glasses. So he's like, I know I feel what you feel sometimes, you know, but he got through that and became a handyman. So it's kind of, he's a good guy. Yeah. So we do get handyman, but it's off an app. Yeah. So you can use that for like, oh God, I got this IKEA furniture and I can't be asked. And you get some lad round and he's like, I can't really be asked either, but I do need the money.
Do they get as angry as an average person putting up IKEA furniture?
You mustn't be in the same room as the handyman or the workman. You must leave them to it.
Yeah.
Is that like magic? Is that like a magical skin sort of vibe?
If you watch them, it won't happen. It's like fairies and that, isn't it? If you see one at work, you'll fucking die.
Don't give them clothing or they will leave.
But Tony told me that I can't ask him for a budget. Do you know what I mean? I can't ask him for a quote.
Really?
Yeah, he was like, you could ask me for a quote, but I don't really want to do it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, amazing. I get that. But amazing. He was saying like, he says it takes as long as it takes. And if you ask me, then I'll quote really high.
Mm.
So because I'll have to go worst case scenario.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm sort of like, okay. So I guess...
Well, you don't have a choice, do you?
No. So I just had to be like, yeah, but I mean, this is my best friend we're talking about. So I trust him.
Yeah. With your life.
Can't put a price on friendship.
I wonder if...
can't put a quote on friendship either.
Do you know in the 30s when like some sort of rich sod would walk into a fun fair in America and the carnies had like... And I'd be like, this is a big gullible. They'd mark it. That's what they called them, a mark, didn't they? They put a chalk mark on their back. Then when they're walking around the fun fair, every carny, is that fine to say? It doesn't feel fine. Every professional carnival worker who moonlights as a thief has spotted the chalk mark and they all rinse him for as much money as possible. And I feel that that is what is happening with this house. Do you know what I mean? I just feel like
to tradesmen, almost everyone who isn't a tradesman is a mark.
My dad actually had the reverse of this story. My dad did all the jobs in the world by the time he was 20 and he was from the East End of London. And he, at one point, worked as a debt collector. But what would happen, apparently, if you went around someone's and they couldn't pay the debts and you were like, you weren't going to F them over kind of thing, you would put a mark on their door so that other debt collectors knew, like, it's not worth it.
Oh, well, I know.
I'm not seeing that happen on Can't Pay, We'll Take It Away.
Well, this is
pre-BBC.
Yeah, this is probably BBC Two, I'd say.
I like that, secret clubs and secret markings and stuff. That's cool.
Robbers, burglars do that.
We have covered that on a podcast, and that is probably a lie. There was an old thing back in the past, the Fraternity of Vagabonds, which was like a pamphlet which detailed all the different scams that people did, but it was basically a fiction.
It's a cool fiction, but it's not true. We had another tradesman come because like, there's probably a problem with a roof, a leak in it, something like that. And you know, like, yeah, fair enough. That's just another thing added. I'm sure roofs are cheap. So, you know, like to get houses done now, it's like the law to get everything scaffolded and stuff. And I just saw a lad up someone else's house, you know, like just on a pair of ladders fixing a bit of roof, and I was like, that's the lad that we need. Do you know what I mean? No regard for anyone's safety. I was like, get him in,
new best friend.
So he was there with his wife and I was talking to him and he was like, yeah, I'll go up and do it. Do you know what I mean? Where I can't get my head around roofing, where it's like one guy quotes like $9,000, he's like, yeah, I'll do it for 100 quid. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, I don't know, but I'd rather throw 100 quid at this and maybe it's fine. and definitely not have $9,000.
Yeah, but sometimes you quote a figure because you just don't want to do it. And then they say, yeah, and you're like, oh, fine, all right.
I guess I'll do it then.
I don't want to go in that mad house with a witch's broom above it.
Yeah. That's how we had taken that down. Yeah, Nicola wants it down. I'm like, let's just wait.
The husband's playing a card game on a Switch all day. It's mad.
He sits in the front room and everyone walks past and can see how busy he is. But the guy came past, he was with his wife, and I was talking to both of them, just being like, how are you doing? And could you look at this? Yeah, yeah. And his wife said, have you had any experiences in that house? I said, excuse me, please, what? Please clarify. And then my son came out of the front door, so she shut up. She clammed up. I went, no, please tell me. Go inside, I want to hear. And I started telling my wife, and she said, Chris, stop talking. the only thing that this house has going for it at the minute is that it's not haunted. I don't want to know.
Oh, so you didn't? Oh, that's a shame. You'd have loved that.
Well, no, but I don't know what it is, but it's like, I don't know. Am I on a ley line?
I don't know. I mean, I want to know now.
Yeah, that you need to find out more. Yeah, unfortunately, maybe this is actually quite clever marketing on behalf of the roofer, because you're going to have to get that roofer to do the job. So there's a chance you'll meet the wife and get the full story.
This is it. I've got to pay. Do you think maybe the podcast could pay for me to get the roofer down?
Oh, hello. Oh, I see what's happening. We're not paying for your friendships.
Yeah, there is a sad transactional. There is a transactional nature. I've got Tony the electrician. I've got my new roofer friend, George, and I have to pay him 150 quid to be my friend. We've got this podcast, which no one's really getting paid apart from James, but like...
Egg Mountain Productions is making a fortune off this.
Egg Mountain Productions is the only one fiscal. So we're basically paying to have this good fun time.
I'm paying to have a chat with you two idiots.
Yeah. When you boil it down, that doesn't help with the loneliness. I feel more lonely.
If there were a load of ghosts in your house, would you feel less lonely, do you think, or scared?
I would love it to be true.
What kind of ghost do you want?
Old Victorian man. Oh, he's a nice guy. Look at his feet. No shoes. He's just floating.
I bet you get someone who just died 10 years ago and he's like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. He's wearing a Lessie. I put that in.
Actually, I went to, this is very rare for me, but I took advantage of...
Whoa. Is this your cultural highlight? Go on then.
Put the big sting in there. Ba-boof. Like subwoofer bass.
Cultural highlights.
Ba-boof.
I watched a black and white art house film in a cinema. Never saw myself as that guy, but I am now.
I saw you as that guy.
You watched Nosferatu for your birthday.
Yeah, but I wanted to go on my phone. I went to see an Ingmar Bergman film called Persona, which was like very interesting film. Black and white, Swedish, about an actress who's gone like silent. And this nurse looking after her in a house by the seaside.
Sounds great.
It was good. It was really good. It's like one of those films that like you should see, but you never ever want to see again. It's not a fun one. But that was my cultural highlight. Not much to report about it, except I did after about, it was 85 minutes long. 30 minutes in, I was like, oh, this is actually quite good. 40 minutes in, I was like, I don't really know what's happening. And then I just zoned out. Cultural highlight.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds like, check it out. Or...
Did you go see that at a BFI?
No, I saw it at the Prince Charles Cinema.
Oh, that's a nice, that's fun cinema. They show fun things. Oh, good lad.
It's a weird screen, but yeah, it's nice.
Chris, what's your cultural highlight then, up in the countryside?
Well, I went to cinema too. I've done two cinemas.
Oof, bang, bang.
I took my father-in-law to see Zone of Interest.
Yeah. What do you feel about that?
Which was, oh man. Well, my father-in-law, it's good times, but at least it wasn't sexy. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Watching a sexy film.
I've heard it's one of those ones that really sticks with you days after.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it constantly. I watched that and I've been watching Dune 2 and really two different ends of the spectrum of this is cinema.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about them both a lot and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, Dune. Yeah.
Have you seen Dune 2?
I haven't yet. Yeah, I want to see it. That's all I want to see.
It's just, all I think. Yeah, it's brilliant. Austin Butler.
I want to see if the worms win this time.
I'm not going to spoil it, but it's very cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dennis Bilodeau is very good at that noise, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's done it in Sicario. He's done it in Arrival. No, he's doing it in
Dune. He's perfected it in Dune.
Wow. Yeah.
So, I just decided to start getting out a little bit, you know, and just go trying to do little things of an evening.
Yeah, where's your nearest cinema?
Carlisle. It's a 25-minute drive away.
How big is the screen?
Normal. As big as the television. I've got enough front room.
What's your cultural highlight?
Outside of Dune 2, I did a pub quiz.
Oh.
Came mid-league. Get this, it was in the village, and apparently the guy that put on, they were trying to raise money for a local pub being reopened as a community pub. So they put on a quiz night with Pie and Peas. Pie and Peas were brilliant. The quiz was brilliant, but they brought in like a professional quizzer. It was a lot of fun. It was intense, but it was won by like people from outside the village, you know, like professional quizzers.
Yeah. Oh, they came in for it.
They came in for it, didn't know anyone, didn't really talk to anyone, didn't like clap with anyone else.
What was the prize?
Did they have a funny team name?
No. Well, we didn't have team names in this. And you think, well, that's a... It does make me very anxious, but it does feel like a mandatory part of
it. Lamp, lamp, lamp.
But you... Limited.org/PLC. The mechanic in this one was the pub quiz. Before each... All the quiz names had cryptic headlines, so you wouldn't really know what the content was. But before each round, you could play a Joker card and double your points for the following round.
So you're just thinking of Balantro for the whole time then?
Yeah, yeah. I tried to get a full house. Do you know what I mean? And then it's... I was talking then, I've just on my computer, a little WhatsApp message from my dad. Chris, how can I get a computer to print PDFs? So that's what I've got after, immediately after this, another 2 hours.
Yeah.
My mum and dad, like, they just, I won't talk about, we'll come back to them, but yeah, full on, intense.
But yeah, so the quiz names are cryptic. You don't know what's going to be in each round, but you can play a Joker card if you think that you're going to do well in that round, presumably.
I'd say that's an accurate summary of what happened, yeah. And we came mid-league. There was a speech from Jaws, and then I said, that's from Jaws, and my father-in-law overruled me, and it was from Jaws. So I was like...
Jaws 2? What did
he
say?
No, it was the one about the, you know, like the dead bodies coming out of the... Is it Vietnam?
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's the USSS Indianapolis.
Yes.
They were delivering the parts for the atom bomb.
Yes.
It's a true story.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant.
600 went in. Only 300 came out. Ever seen a shark's eyes?
Do you actually just know it?
Black, like a doll's eyes. I'm actually watching Jaws at the moment. Not literally now, I've paused it. But I've remembered how good Jaws is. It's my sort of annual remembering of how good Jaws is and watching it.
I did want to know what you were doing on those tabs while you were zoning out during these recordings, but it's good to know. I just thought it was internet pornography, but yeah, that's good.
It's Schneider.
Oh, yeah. So I did the pub quiz. It was good. It was my father-in-law, Alistair and Fiona, who were very nice people from the village, like my father-in-law's friends, quite artsy people, lovely. We had a great time.
But you lost.
But we lost, and it's done, and I'm gonna come back.
What was the prize, just quickly? Was it cash?
Yeah, it was 100 quid. But the 100, because it's raising money for the pub, it was heavily implied that the money needs to go back into the fundraising.
But the pro quizzes would have just taken that, right?
The pro quizzes put it back in. They didn't care. They're not bothered about trinkets, are they? They're in it for the thrill of the quiz achievement.
I suppose it's like you were saying about with stand up the other week. It's like they were using that pub quiz as like a way to hone their skills for the bigger quizzes kind of thing. Right. Like when you're saying you do a gig to. Yeah. Work on material for other ones.
It was a new material quiz for them.
But my area is movies, TV. Don't know sport, don't know music. Any music at all.
So is that the entirety of your cultural highlight? Sorry, Sunil.
I've done 3 pub quizzes in the last few months and come fairly near rock bottom on all of them. Each time it was a team of 2 people and we just hit it real bad. It went real bad. I just didn't think you can't win a quiz with a 2-man team.
No.
Then that's what I thought. And then the last quiz, it was won by a 2-man team. It's possible.
Can't win one with your 2-man team.
I couldn't see
team.
Them. They were around the corner. They knew what they were doing. They didn't want to be seen. They wanted to win.
And yeah, behind a pillar by the exit, yeah, ready to go. Yeah. Cash grab.
Brought their own pens.
Was one of them off eggheads?
I reckon a couple of them could have been eggheads.
Can I tell you a thing? A bit of a mad. This is mad. I've got a celebrity admirer and it's CJ off eggheads.
What, he came to see your show?
I don't know if he's seen a show, but he's like commented on me on Twitter a couple of times saying he's like a bit of all right. And I was like to Amy, who I'm in the double act with, I was like, well, he thinks he sort of fancies me. And she was like, do you mean him got accused of murdering a man? I said, well, nobody's perfect.
He was arrested in the Netherlands. He was arrested in the Netherlands.
Did he do it then?
I don't know.
Innocent until charged guilty. So let him off the hook.
I mean, this is a story from 2016. I can't see the follow-up anywhere at the minute.
So he's allowed to be out in the world and to fancy who he likes.
He could be a new friend of yours, Chris.
Bump him up the list a bit.
I think anything else on your cultural highlights?
I think I've done loads there. I've gone to cinema. I've gone to a pub quiz. What more do you want? Is that
your cultural highlight, the cinema and pub quiz?
Is there a richer cultural life than going to watch Dune 2?
You can't count the cinema as a cultural highlight of living where you are.
It's all we've got.
Not a single person involved in the making of Dune 2 knows that your village exists.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, that's pretty harsh.
that's a pretty harsh note.
That's a bit much. Sorry. Sunil, come on, don't kick a guy when he's down.
Timothy Chalamet has been to...
Don't say that it's so small. It's like, if you say the actual name in a village, people could come in and be like, does he live in that house? No. Well, he must live in this house. Do you know what I mean?
Because this is the only one with a witch's broom on it.
Yeah. I think you've given enough for CJ to find me.
Is there a canal?
Well, they're dead. When they had the survey done, they were like, there is a risk of flooding. So, yeah, I've got a body of water nearby. That's all I'll say on the matter. But don't give them any more.
All right.
Don't give them any more.
That word of the village.
Weep out that word. So I've done that. I've done the cinema. I've done a pub quiz. I played many games of Balatro. That is a cultural life.
This is a rich and fulfilled cultural life.
A rich and fulfilled life. Every now and again, catch myself in the black bits of the screen.
As all men do. Don't worry about that.
Anything in the arts? Anything in the art world?
What do you mean?
It's written on the paper.
Oh, yeah. I've stopped looking at the bit of paper now. I was just like, turn off the, you know, like Luke Skywalker, turn off the guidance system.
Let's crash this fucking baby.
That's like, yeah, if just Obi-Wan Kenobi goes, use the force, turns it off just instantly into the side of the canyon.
Well, wait there, because I've found something.
We're not recording it.
We stopped recording?
No, video. We're not recording video.
No, but I'm going to show you it and then we can react to it.
What a silly cunt.
Oh. Did you paint that?
No, I found it in a cupboard, hidden, like jammed up under a cupboard under the stairs.
Is it haunted?
Let's describe what it is.
It's an oil painting, I suspect by an amateur hand, by someone called, it's signed Fiona.
Adolf Hitler.
Hitler. Not the Hitler.
Alan Hitler.
Alan Hitler's oil painting of I'd say that's a kestrel.
Yeah,
probably.
Sort of hunting bird, isn't it? It's nice.
So it's sort of looking over its shoulder, like a bit coy.
Sexy.
Just to sort of tie that into the spooky roofer's wife, are you sure that head is at the same angle as when you found it?
I do feel it follows me around the room. My son said he wants it in his bedroom, and I was like, yeah, fair enough. Then that'll be... That's he'll have that in his room and it'll say stab your mum and dad with a pair of scissors water.
How come there's yogurt all down the bottom of this painting?
That's nice though.
It's not like looking up. I think the brushwork could be a bit, I don't know what it is, but they've gone to trouble of having it framed.
Yeah.
So
it's good, it's nice. I like it. But I do all agree with Sunil, it's probably haunted.
That's why they hid it.
That's why they hid it, didn't they? So
where was it hidden? Where did you find it?
An under the stairs, like cupboard, which is just full of old bits of metal dog cum, like piles of dog cum that's all curdled now. So you can only, can't even use it for, you can't even cook with it. Do you know what I mean? So it was jammed under the set, like right to the back of this dusty old cupboard. So I just like pulled it up and I was like, what is this? I scratched it a bit, getting the frame a bit, getting it out. But I mean, if anyone wants to buy it.
I wouldn't want to take it from your son.
Oh yeah. I don't want him having it.
I don't really like old paintings that people have found.
No.
That's the genre of painting I don't really like. That's
what, just old paintings? So you don't like just brand new paintings that nobody's ever owned?
No, I don't like old paintings that people have found under the stairs in their
house.
You
just like the big, giant, 9-foot Peaky Blinders oil?
No, it's not a binary option. It's not, I'm just saying that's one specific area of painting I don't want in my house. What I've got a painting of Bulldog smoking a couple of spliffs on a surfboard. I've got an alien meeting the Dalai Lama and saying, Toke me to your leader.
Yeah, in there.
Nice.
And I got Mike Tyson biting off Evander Holyfield's ear. And I've got a new one coming, which is a Labrador in an F-19 fighter plane with the American flag behind him. Now, I am going to buy some new art, actually.
So give us something to talk about next time.
What? New art that I'm going to buy?
Yeah.
Is it going to be like the Pope? The Pope's ranked dope?
No, it's... Yeah, it is now.
He's doing that. He's doing the V sign, peace sign thing, but he's got a big doobie going on in his hands.
I think a lot of people don't have fun art that makes them laugh. I think they should have fun art that makes them laugh.
I want to get pictures of me commissioned to give to people when I go around the house. You know, like an oil painting of me riding a horse or something like that, and be like, yeah, I had this done for you. And then they have to sort of put it up.
Just give them headshots, man.
Just give them a headshot. Frame headshot with some advice on it.
Yeah. Keep your chin up, love. Chris
Cantrell. Keep on those Instagram reels. I've got a little character scene just to tack on to the end of this. Okay, come on, focus. And that was Rural Concerns.
Thank you for listening to whatever this is.
Do you want to get in touch? Well, you can. We've got an email address. It's christopher@alovelytime.co.uk. Yes, it's just my name, but you will reach both of us. And producer James will not be allowed to read any of the content. I will make sure it gets to him. So if you've got a question, we will try our best to answer it. But if it is time sensitive, please do contact your GP.
Rural Concerns was produced by Egg Mountain for A Lovely Time. Our artwork is by Poppy Hilstead, and our music was bashed out under duress by Sam O'Leary.
Governor, Governor! I can say my own name, but it has been pointed out to me from listening back to the new episodes that in one of the episodes I get my own name wrong.
Really?
Someone said, Sunil goes, it's Chris Cantrell. And I go, yeah, it's Chris Cantrell. And that's not my name.
I thought I'd been getting it wrong for all these years. I thought that was actually how it was done.
I don't know what
like
it is.
Is it the rapper? Is it a rapper?
Blue Cantrell. Yeah. It's just nerves, isn't it?